Those of you that were here last week, remember we started this topic, this idea about things don't always turn out the way we like. And last week we saw from John 11 how God used those circumstances to call the sisters, Mary and Martha, to trust Him to a new degree, to a new level, through very, very difficult circumstances. Today we're going to look at this idea again. Things don't always turn out the way we like. We're going to use Acts chapter 9. You know the story, I think, but if you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 9. And we're going to look at this idea, which was part of what I said last week. God loves us too much to leave us where we're at. Let me quantify that. Let me clarify that just a little for you. If we have not trusted Christ as Lord, He loves us too much to leave us in that condition. Things may happen to get our attention, to cry out to Him. And if we have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord, and we're really not walking with Him the way we should be, there may be challenges in our life. I call them growth opportunities to help us to depend on Him more. And so I'm going to tell you, share you with you a story from the Bible, and then I'm going to close with our story in our community. Things don't always turn out the way we like, do they? Remember what I told you last week, why we're talking about this? 3 points. Number one, God is bigger than our agendas. God is even bigger than our desires. We desire this, that, and the other thing, don't we? I mean, that's our natural tendencies to want this and want that and have the best for our families and have good health and all this. But God is bigger than that. I'm not saying He wants you to be sick, but He loves us too much to leave us where we're at, particularly if we're not walking with Him. That was point number two. He loves us too much to leave us where we're at. And point number three, God teaches us through circumstances, teaches us to depend on Him. We saw that last week in John 11. To trust Him completely, to trust Him when it seems we're aching too bad to trust Him. All we got is questions, and yet He calls upon the sisters, Mary and Martha, last week, and you and I, through the difficulties of life, to trust Him. And so, there's a story in Acts chapter 9 that I know most of you know very well, but let me go through 9 verses here to remind us. This guy called Saul that we are reading about in Acts chapter 9 is a religious guy. He is in his own words, a Pharisee of Pharisees. In other words, in the Old Testament way of keeping the Ten Commandments and keeping the law of Moses, he had it all together. And so he was looked at as a very religious person, a leader in the church, you might say. This is Saul. And this Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him, that's the high priest, to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he, that's Saul, would found any Christians who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound back to Jerusalem. You see, you might be asking, if you don't know this story very well, why would a religious man be persecuting Jesus' followers? He was a religious man, and that's part of my point today. He was a religious man, but he didn't know Jesus. You can be as religious as the most religious of all time, friends, but if you don't know Jesus, our life is incomplete. And so here's this Saul persecuting the followers of Christ. He had his agenda. He went to the high priest. He gathered up the permission. I'm going on to Damascus. I'm going to look in the synagogue there. And if I find any of these people called Jesus followers, or calling them the way, at that point, I'm going to bring them back to Jerusalem and we're going to persecute them. I'm going to stamp these Christians out. He had his agenda. But as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, the Bible said, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And by this time, I'm sure Saul is on the ground. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice, "And the Lord." Then the Lord said to him, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads." He's simply saying, "You're going against the flow here, Saul." So he, that Saul, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Friends, we may get to the point in our lives where we need to ask the same question. We may get to a Damascus Road experience. If we have walked in life all our life, even been in church, had it all together spiritually and religiously thinking, but have never met Jesus, we may have a Damascus Road experience so that He redirects us. He loves us too much to leave us where we're at. And if we have that Damascus Road experience, and maybe some of you are having it right now, it behooves us to ask, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. He was now blind. But they led him by the hand, and they brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. You see, friends, here was a man on a mission. We all have missions in life to a degree, don't we? Mission for today, mission for this week, mission for our career plans, our college plans, our marriage plans. We all have a mission. Here was a man on a mission. Here was a man who thought he and God had everything under control. Here was a man going to Damascus for a very specific reason, and while en route had his plans changed completely. Back to the title, things don't always turn out the way we like. He had a plan in going to Damascus. He had an agenda. He had a purpose. He had a mission. But things weren't about to work out for Saul the way he planned. Why? Because sometimes divine intervention is for our good. Amen? Sometimes we may not see it until we look way, way back sometime, if we survive the instance. But sometimes divine intervention comes to us for our good, for redirection in life. And that's what was happening with Saul. And maybe today, friends, you're going through a Damascus Road experience right now of your own. Maybe you're here today and you're something like this man called Saul. You've got an agenda too. And let me just say, friends, if it's not God's agenda, throw it out and seek Him. Our agenda needs to line up with God's. We have plans all laid out. We are confident sometimes that we're even in God's will. And maybe we're like Saul today. We have all these plans. We have all this agenda. But we have forgotten to include Jesus. I'm talking to every one of us, including myself here today, whether we're believers of the Lord Jesus Christ or we're still wondering about a relationship with Him. If we have forgotten to include Jesus, our agenda is probably not lining up with His. Saul's was not lining up with His that day, and things were not working out the way Saul planned when he left Jerusalem at all. He had this plan. He was going to go here. He was going to find the Christians. He was going to persecute them. And God intervened, divine intervention, to redirect him for his own salvation, for starters. Sometimes God will intervene in our lives when we least expect it, because we think, like Saul, we're on God's side and we got it all figured out. And He'll intervene anyway. Because we forgot to include Jesus. By the time we get to verse 9, Saul realizes things are not working out the way he'd planned at all. And maybe there has been some incidents or even some tragedies in your life that seem like things are not going the way that you're supposed to. And in reality, God may be in it, redirecting, reorchestrating our agenda. Have you ever thought this through? Maybe some of the difficulties in my life were God redirecting me. I'm not saying all tragedy comes from God. I'm not saying that at all. The adversary is real too. We know that from Job, right? We know the adversary strikes too. But have you ever thought through, maybe these difficulties in my life, past, current, or future, are because God is redirecting me and where I'm really at, because He loves me too much to leave me in that condition? I wonder if we've ever thought about that. We're just like Saul sometimes. We're tearing it up through life. We're full, all systems go, and all of a sudden the bottom falls out, so to speak. Kind of like my friends, the Stenbergs, just west of town this week. Already a plate full with their son dying. And all of a sudden, Dad, Jewel, has a serious, serious stroke. I don't know why this divine interruption happened. I don't even know if this was a divine interruption, but I'm going to tell you in just a minute why it could have been. You see, brothers and sisters, divine interruption, even though it may hurt, may be for our spiritual good. We don't like to think of that, maybe. But that is exactly what happened in Saul's life. Divine interruption for his good. We could be reminded of a whole lot of instances in the Bible where this very thing has happened. And I'm reminded of many even now. But one of them is the prodigal son. Remember when he got his inheritance, he had an agenda. He had a plan. Wine, women, and song. That was the plan. Live it up. I got my goods now. Do you think for a moment the prodigal son ever thought about the pig pen where he was going to end up eventually? I doubt it. And yet in the pig pen, divine interruption got his attention. And the Bible says, and he came to his senses. In his plans, when he got the inheritance, he got his father's good, and he's probably saying, oh, look at me now. We're going to have fun now, boys. He wasn't looking towards the pig pen, and yet in the pig pen is where he come to his senses and got reunited with his earthly father and his heavenly father. And sometimes divine interruption happens in our lives to redirect and reshuffle our agenda. And sometimes, like I've said before, when things don't go the way we're planning, it's because God loves us too much to leave us at that distance from Him. He loves us too much to leave us at that distance. He wants us near. He wants us born again. And if you have been born again, He wants us nearer. Saul's blindness and 3 days of fasting was for his eyes to be opened. You know what I'm talking about? To know Jesus. The young fella in the pig pen, his hunger and his destitute condition was so that he might be filled in Jesus. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, we get to the pig pen. We get to the Damascus Road experience. Why? It's not because He loves you less. It's because of His love for you that we encounter these things sometimes. It's because He loves us so much, He's not willing that any should perish. We've been talking about that for a while. He's not willing that any should perish. It's because of His love for you and I and people that we encounter these Damascus Road experiences sometimes to redirect our thinking, to redirect our agenda, and cry out to Him, God, what do you want me to do? It's because of these sometimes to redirect our thought processes. Sometimes even when we're in church, we're nowhere near to God the way that God wants to be near to us. You know what? Saul was in church, wasn't he? Saul was a Jewish man. He was a religious man. He might have even been a Sunday school teacher. He might have even been on the board. He was in church, and he was far from Jesus. And so he has this Damascus Road experience to redirect him and help him to see the need for Jesus. I was listening to a tape this last week, or a CD, from a guy by the name of Louis Giglio. Pretty good speaker. I really enjoyed listening to him. Anybody heard of him? Not too many. Some of you have. First time I'd ever been put on to him too. And one of his quotes went perfectly with what I'm trying to say this morning. Here's what he said. God's love for you and I does not depend on your happiness. You still with me? God's love for you and I and all of humanity is so intense. He cares more about you and your eternal destination than your comfort and your happiness today. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. Only he said it in one little verse, one little sentence. Life may get messy. Life may get uncomfortable. It's gotten messy in some of your lives lately with physical challenges and death and mayhem and all kind of stuff. But friends, maybe it's at these times that God in His great love for us is trying to reach down to us one more time and say, I still love you. I'm still here. I want to comfort you. I want to save you. Will you come? Maybe it's in the messy parts of life that He's speaking to us loudest. I'm going to close with this story, and then I'm going to ask the praise team to come and sing to us, lead us to the cross again. There's a name on our prayer focus we've been praying for a good long time. His name is Bubba. Bubba's 10 years, 12 years younger than I am. Vibrant kid, loves life, loves the business him and his dad have brought up out there. Loves the outdoors, goes fishing, goes hunting, loves his nieces and nephews, loves life, but has never had any time for Jesus. And his father called me up a year and a half or so ago. And he said, Jim, my son's got cancer. And I don't care about cancer. But I care about his eternity. And every time I try to talk to him about Jesus, he don't want to talk about it. He said, Dad, I ain't talking about politics and I ain't talking about religion. And he said, Jim, I'm concerned for my son because he doesn't know he's got a need like we all do until we've met Jesus at the cross. We've all got a need. And he said, my son doesn't understand that. And so we've been praying for Bubba for a good long time. And he's had surgeries, and he's had chemos, and he's had treatments, and he's had everything imaginable in Mayo and in Staples, and he's had all kind of stuff. And, well, he just keeps getting worse. And I spoke to him in the Staples Hospital about 3 weeks ago before he spent the last 2.5 weeks at Mayo. And I said, how's your faith, Bubba? Well, he didn't know. And I said, well, I know you don't like to talk about politics and you don't like to talk about religion, but I just want to tell you that God loves you. And Jesus died for you. And if you believe in heaven, you believe in hell, Jesus is the only way to heaven. And there's only about so much time. We've got to get these things sorted out. A day or two later, he was whisked off to Mayo. He's been down there. They brought him home. Now he came home Wednesday night. He's on hospice. He's not doing very good. And a whole lot of people have been praying for him. I know you have, some of you. Some of you know him. And I went there yesterday, and I had in my mind, I'm going to read him a little Bible story, and I'm going to challenge him about that little Bible story, because I think Jesus will speak to him through that Bible story. But he just had a shot of morphine, and he was no mood for visiting. He was real groggy. He was real tired, and I said, Bob, I just come to read you a little story, but I know you're tired, and I know you want to rest, and I know you're hurting, you're having a bad day, aren't you? And he said, yeah. Bad day. He hasn't eaten in a month. Got tubes running in and out of him all over. And so I could see that he didn't have any time for Bible stories, and he told me he was angry. He's angry at God because here his dad lies in St. Cloud Hospital having a stroke. And I said, I don't blame you. I'd be angry too. And I said, Bub, if God comes for you tonight, are you ready to go home? Are you ready to go home to be with Jesus? He said, I don't know, Jim. I don't know if I'm in the right frame of mind because he's still angry. And I said, let me ask you this, Bubba. Do you believe that God loves you so intently that he sent his son Jesus to Christ to die on the cross for your sins so that you might live? And he said, yeah, I believe that. And I said, in this last amount of time, Bubba, I said, have you believed, have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior? And he said, yes, I have. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to be doing his funeral pretty quick. And we're going to rejoice because he's going on to be with Jesus. You see, friends, I'm not saying God caused cancer. But I am saying God loves you too much to leave you where you're at. And if you haven't trusted him, time's running out. Time is running out. You got no guarantees you're going to get to 90. Maybe you're experiencing a Damascus Road experience. Maybe you've been one and you just blew it off. He loves you too much to leave you where you're at. While we're singing this song, if you're not absolutely sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you have trusted Christ as Lord, you've repented of sin, you've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord, please come up here and pray with Isaac or myself. Sometimes there's a reason for the pig pen. Sometimes there's a reason for the Damascus Road experience. He loves you too much to leave you there, that's why. And friends, I just want you to have your ears open and your ears attentive because he's going to speak to you. If you've not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as Lord, he's going to speak to you because he loves you too much to leave you go the other way. And if you have trusted Jesus as Lord and you're still in the wanderings of the desert, so to speak, he might give you another pig pen experience to draw him near. And you draw him near and he draw near to you. But trust him, friends. Surrender to him and trust him. If you're not absolutely sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you have believed Jesus Christ as Lord, I don't mean just believe about him, I mean have trusted him as Lord, see Pastor Isaac today before another day goes by. Father, we love you. We know you love us. And even in times of hurt, we got a lot of questions. And like Bub said to me the other day, I'm angry. Sometimes we've got outright anger towards you, O God. That's what it's to. Let's be honest. Our anger is towards you. But you can take our anger, if we'll be honest with you, and surrender to you and cry out like Saul did and say, what do you want me to do, O Lord? And you will turn that anger into joy. You will turn our blindness into sight. You will turn our hunger from the pig pen into filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, maybe today we need to cry out to you, Lord. What do you want me to do, Lord? Oh, Father, thank you for loving us too much to leave us go that way. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much. You went to that cross at Calvary and died and shed your blood so that our sin, not in part, but the whole, would be nailed to the cross. And we bear it no more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Go with us from this place, Father. Please grant safety with the new snow. And Father, if we're not right where we should be, then maybe we need a Damascus Road experience to get right with you where we should be. Not because you don't love us anymore, but because you love us so much. And so, Father, whatever it takes to redeem souls back to yourself, to save our neighbors, our friends, our churches, our family, whatever it takes, Lord, because nothing is more important than make a decision for Jesus and be prepared to spend eternity with you, our Heavenly Father. Nothing is more important than that. Thank you, Lord, for being with us here this morning. For those that are here sick today, Father, will you just lay a healing hand on them? For those here that are struggling, Father, will you just help them to know the Prince of Peace? For those that are just all right, help them to have a good day. We pray this in all things in Jesus' name, our Savior and Lord. Amen.